This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
What democracy looks like. Can you tell we are in Madison, Wisconsin right now? These are some of the protesters that are outside the state capitol in Protest Center, USA. I'm Dan Barker, and you're listening to Free Thought Radio, and I'm here with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we would call this the ultimate moment of bedlam, capital bedlam, a taste of the daily protests. And we like to hold a facetious moment of bedlam at FFRF's annual non-prayer breakfast.
But it's nothing like this.
Nothing like this.
60,000 people out screaming.
So welcome to Free Thought Radio, the weekly broadcast of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
This broadcast is the week of March the 5th. We're originating and broadcasting from Madison, Wisconsin. And if we were broadcasting yesterday, I could have given you a command to March 4th, because today is March 5th.
Bad joke. We don't need to tell people in Madison.
That's right. Freethinkers and secular activists are also on the march, and we'll be talking about that and with some other activists on today's program.
Free Thought Radio is broadcasting from the center of activism, as Dan said these days, Madison, Wisconsin. We're also airing in Monterey, California, Atlanta, and Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And this show is produced by the National Freedom From Religion Foundation, right now the country's largest organization of atheists and agnostics. And we work to educate the public about the views of non-believers. The fastest growing segment of American religion right now is non-religion. And we also work to keep religion and government separate.
And we're going to talk a lot about what FFRF is doing now to keep state and church separate.
On the second half of today's show, we'll talk with an FFRF member who is vice president of a statewide Florida group and is in the thick of government prayer protests there, following up on letters of legal complaint from the Freedom From Religion Foundation to the erring government bodies in Florida. Her name is Ellen Beth Walks, and she will talk about censorship of a secular T-shirt by the mayor of Cape Coral, Florida, and how her husband actually got arrested for talking during the illegal prayers conducted by the Polk County School Board.
FFRF has complained a lot about government prayer, but when we are talking about prayer by the school board, it becomes much more egregious because it's sending a very strong and very wrong message to school students that religion and education, public education, should mix.
And then later when we get Ellen Beth Walks on the phone, we'll play a TV news clip about some of those Florida protests.
Now, FFRF legal complaints have sparked a lot of other news and TV coverage in the past week. First, we want to follow up on our challenge of the Ten Commandments in public schools in Giles County, Virginia.
Now, if you listened to a previous show, you might recall that FFRF complained in December about Ten Commandments posters that have been up for about a decade in Giles County schools. The superintendent properly removed them.
After we complained.
Then the clergy organized about 200 protesters. They came to a school board meeting, and the board voted 5-0 to overturn the superintendent. And they returned even more Ten Commandments posters to the schools.
So we at FFRF located brave parents with children in the Giles County schools who were willing to join a lawsuit. And we've been working very wonderfully with Rebecca Glenberg of the ACLU of Virginia. And we were ready to file suit this week. When the news leaked out that we had plaintiffs about 10 days ago, the school board, mysteriously, voted again to remove the second set excuse me, our Ten Commandments. It's kind of like the story of Moses on Mount Sinai, isn't it?
Go up and get them and bring them down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Well, let's listen to some coverage from WVVA out of Roanoke, Virginia.
Students at Giles High School have sports stickers on their lockers. Others have proudly taped up the Ten Commandments to defy the school board.
We're trying to get them put back up, and we really strongly believe they should be up.
The removal of the Ten Commandments from school walls has some students at Giles High School fighting back.
Us Christians want them up, and we just think it's basic morals, and they should be up. So we've been putting out the Ten Commandments on our locker, and the other religions have been putting their beliefs on them.
Since the Giles County School Board has had them removed for the second time, students say there's animosity among them.
A lot of students have gotten into it, and there's other people that have other things up on their lockers and people that go around and tear the Ten Commandments off.
The students that want them taken down, they got mad about the people who want them up, and it almost broke out into a physical fight because someone had called someone else an atheist.
Religious students are taking it one step further.
A group of students from Narrows and Giles have made t-shirts that we're ordering that have the Ten Commandments, the problem. No, it's the solution.
So why the change? It started when some locals reached out to the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin. The organization's lawyer says they received complaints from parents about the commandments being reposted. The organization then sent a letter to the school board threatening a lawsuit. Now that they're back down, the organization says they're keeping an eye on Giles County. The lawyer for the Freedom From Religion Foundation gave WVVA this statement. Along with the ACLU of Virginia, we are monitoring the situation to ensure that the school board does not attempt to skirt the law and put the Ten Commandments back into Giles County schools. Any such attempts to violate the Constitution and Supreme Court precedent would constitute a losing legal battle for the school board.
If you look at the divisiveness that religion has caused in this public school, in the county schools, and of course, if schools permit advocacy t-shirts, you know, among students, and they permit posters on lockers, that's fine with us because there's a complete difference between private speech and government speech. But obviously, a student wearing a Ten Commandments t-shirt is very different than a public school placing Ten Commandments up on the walls of their schools.
And that attorney they were quoting on that news segment was Patrick Elliott, who is an attorney with our office. We'll be talking sometime this month with a brave young woman who actually protested these commandments when she was a student at Giles County High School. Her name is Sarah McNair. She's now out of high school, but she contacted FFRF to let us know that she had sent letters of complaint to that school when she was in that high school.
And as we reported last week, FFRF has given Sarah McNair our annual Thomas Jefferson Youth Activist Award. This is a cash scholarship of $1,000. Excuse me. Here's a clip from an interview of Sarah with WDBJ TV7 in Roanoke.
I first saw them during my first week when I was a new student, and you know, I thought it was peculiar coming from Northern Virginia, where I think we're used to religious diversity. It just, I couldn't imagine that being on a public school wall. But I wanted to lay a little bit low, being a new student and all, and sort of make an attempt to fit in. So I let it go for a bit. But with the Bible bus that they have and the God bless on the Ten Commandments, or excuse me, the God bless on the morning announcements, along with the sort of bullying that I saw going on against students who weren't particularly religious, I just felt like I had to take a stand. Not particularly for me, because I felt strong enough. I didn't really care if people didn't like what I believed. But a lot of kids who grew up in the area.
So that's a sort of a teaser. You can tell that Sarah McNair's an exceptional young woman, and we'll get her on the program sometime in March and keep you posted on what happens. And in addition, we have two youth activist or student activist awards. We also have essay competitions that we have if you are a high school senior who's college bound in the fall, if you're a currently enrolled college student or a grad student or somebody 25 and older. We have three different competitions, and we have $2,000 first place, $1,000 second, $500 third, fourth place is $300, and we have $200 honorable mentions in all three competitions.
Which is the one that's Why Jefferson Was Right.
And that's for the grad students this year. So you can go to the homepage at ffrf.org, look under outreach and events, and you'll see the links with all the guidelines on the student competitions, and we encourage any students who are free-thinking to please enter these competitions.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. We'll be back in a couple of minutes to talk some more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation's complaints over religion in the government.
I'm Michael Newdow, and this is Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, and as you can hear, we are still in Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio. Annie Laurie Gaylor is here with me, co-host of the show, and she and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Our office, by the way, is just two blocks away from the state capitol, and we get to see and hear all of this. Whatever side of the issue you're on, we get to see you out there chanting and protesting. We have one more TV clip that covers the Freedom From Religion Foundation's complaint over a theocrat. This is from UP North Live 74, Cheboygan County, Michigan.
You don't call it winter solstice.
A wild surprise this morning for the Cheboygan County Board of Commissioners. Santa Claus showed up to urge leaders to support Christmas in county buildings. Officials, though, started to get a little fed up. Today's unusual scene was cooked up by the county drain commissioner, Dennis Lennox, who has had a lawsuit threatened against him over a Christmas display in his office. 7 at 4's Andrew Keller was there as everything unfolded.
Cheboygan County commissioners say it was supposed to be a meeting to discuss the vision of the county as they move forward. But in the public seating area, there was a jolly distraction. Santa was in town.
I'd certainly like to see a good, strong endorsement from the board in the name of Christmas.
He was there to support Drain Commissioner Dennis Lennox. Lennox recently received a letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which asked him to remove the cross from his door and the nativity scene from his office because it's a violation of the separation of church and state. Lennox has refused, saying he can celebrate his religion in his office.
And shame on the county commissioners who won't come out and strongly support Christmas.
Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ, not Santa.
Michael Overton is the Cheboygan County Administrator and says he speaks for the majority of commissioners when he says they're fed up with Lennox. They say since he has taken office, it has been the same story.
Mr. Lennox initially ran on the pretense that he was going to eliminate the position of Drain Commissioner. He was going to save the county money. Well, since that time, he's done nothing but cost the county money.
Overton says with this latest case, if the county gets sued, it could cost the taxpayer thousands of dollars. In a county that has cut $1.4 million from their budget in the past 2 years, he says there isn't money to fight lawsuits like this.
And cost shouldn't play into the factor either, because this group is going across the country with a radical agenda.
Lennox says a private law firm has agreed to represent the county at no cost, but Overton said ultimately the suit will fall on the shoulders of the county.
This is about ensuring that the people of Cheboygan County can continue celebrating Christmas.
How often do you see someone bring a Santa to a meeting in February? It's a political stunt.
Currently, the county board has directed the civil council to conduct an investigation to analyze the alleged violations by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I'm Andrew Keller, 7 and 4 News, Cheboygan County.
So one of our weirder complaints, this is the drain commissioner in Cheboygan County, Michigan, and he has a cross and a nativity display in his very public office. If citizens go into his office, I mean, that's where you go. And if it was a private area, that would be different. And this complaint's being handled by our senior staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, and we hope reason will prevail there.
I didn't know there was such a thing as a drain commissioner. The protests at the Wisconsin State Capitol, which are two blocks away from FFRF's offices in downtown Madison, there were probably 100,000 people at the rally a week ago Saturday, and these protests continue. And as of now, the governor has closed the Capitol, and this is being litigated.
Yeah, I used to cut through the Capitol to pick up lunch, and you can't even do it. Very dismaying. Now, last week we played a song commemorating Joe Hill, the labor activist, sung by Paul Robeson. Here's a song by Joe Hill himself. It's called The Preacher and the Slave.
He's not singing it. He wrote it.
He wrote it. Yeah. This version features you, Dan, my co-host Dan Barker, with Midwest folk singer, feminist, and freethinker Kristen Lems.
Long-haired preachers come out every night, try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they will answer in voices so sweet. You will eat by and by in that glorious land in the sky. Oh, the Starvation Army, they play, and they sing, and they clap, and they pray, till they get all your coin on the drum. Then they'll tell you when you were on the bum.
You will eat
by and by,
by and by,
in that glorious land.
Holy rollers and jumpers, come out. You've seen them, how they holler, how they jump, and how they shout. Give your money to Jesus, they say. He will cure all diseases today.
Working folk of all countries unite. Side by side, we for freedom will fight. When the world sing this refrain.
You will eat
by and by when you've learned how to cook and to fry. Chop some wood
to do you good
and you'll eat in the sweet by and by.
That's no lie. And I was in that backup chorus, remember? I don't think you could do something that high anymore, could you?
I don't know, my voice isn't that high anymore.
That was back in 1987. So that was Joe Hill, The Preacher and the Slave, Dan Barker and Kristen Lems, and I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker, who's our guest.
Our guest today is Ellen Beth Walks. She's
from
Florida. She's protesting prayers at government functions.
So stay tuned, and we'll have more agitation coming up next.
Francisco Aguilar. I come originally from Argentina. I hear him Free Thought Radio, and I am glad that you are here to be able to give us a voice. Thank you.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And in a minute, we're going to introduce our guest by phone, Ellen Beth Wax from Florida. But we thought first we'd let you hear her being interviewed on a TV segment and to introduce this topic generally. FFRF has a bunch of complaints going in Florida, and we started complaining about prayers. Well, City of Lakeland, last year we complained about prayers by objected to Ten Commandments proposal by the mayor of Coral Ridge,
Coral Ridge,
Florida. And then we found out that they were praying to open school board meetings in Polk County, which is Bartow, Florida. And all of these cases are going different ways. The Atheists of Florida have a suit over the prayers going on in one of these cases. And then they've gotten involved going to some of the meetings. And there's been a lot of fireworks. And we're going to talk about it with Ellen Beth Wax in a minute. But first, let's listen to some of the TV coverage about the latest episode.
People can pray all they want. That's their constitutional right.
John Kiefer, president of the Atheists of Florida, says his latest run-in with a government body over prayer was supposed to serve as a reminder of the separation of church and state for the Polk County School Board.
Government is not in a position to promote prayer one way or the other.
But his reminder, along with the group's vice president, Ellen Beth Wax, was not exactly peaceful, as you see in these pictures, resulting in what Wax says was Kiefer's unjust arrest.
This was outrageous. This was a total shock. We were simply milling about the room prior to the start of the meeting.
Kiefer would not comment on the arrest due to the pending charges of disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, but Wax is. And the story she tells of the moments before the start of the meeting as they milled about is vastly different than that of school board member Frank O'Reilly, who says the two took pictures next to the praying pastor and spoke loudly amongst themselves.
Reverend Harper completed the invocation, and I said from the podium, I said, that is the rudest outbreak I have ever seen. And the man stood in front of me, oh no, religion has no place in government.
Bartow police say Kiefer was arrested when he continued to cause a disruption, preventing the start of the meeting. Now, the Polk County School Board recently changed its policy, removing invocation from the meetings to prevent threats of lawsuits by anti-religious groups. But it hasn't put an end to those starting controversy in Polk County.
Well, as we always say, religion and government is divisive. And FFRF's senior staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, had written a letter to Polk County advising them that this is totally inappropriate and unconstitutional to hold prayer at school board meetings where students have to be in attendance, their parents have to be in attendance. And so they thought that they'd do this little trick of saying that the prayers would happen before the gavel sounds. And so John Kiefer, our guest, Ellen Beth Wax, went in, and because it wasn't part of the meeting, they continued to speak, you know, and so this really challenges it. And so, well, we'll let Ellen Beth tell the story. Welcome very much back to Free Thought Radio.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we actually went there because there was a story in our local paper about how they were very much afraid that the Freedom From Religion Foundation was going to sue them because they were in economic distress. And I found this so preposterous because we all know that this is not the reason that they get sued. They get sued because they're violating the Constitution. So we went there for two purposes. One, to educate them on the reason that a lawsuit would be brought, and two, to illustrate the total farce that moving this prayer to the beginning, prior to the start of the meeting, is. And they wanted the respect of the prayer, even though it was outside of the meeting, and they wanted it as a, it was total drama. They wanted us to be actors in this play, and we weren't going to do this. What happened, and the way they described it, was totally inaccurate. John was not disruptive. I was not disruptive. We were simply walking about the front of the room as anybody would do prior to the start of the meeting.
Because how could you be disruptive? How could you disrupt a meeting that hadn't started yet, right?
Exactly right. And the pastor gave his entire invocation. The person that was disruptive was the man you just heard, Frank O'Reilly, who gave an outburst after the pastor finished, screaming at us how rude we were. The entire room then started screaming at us and cursing at us, upon which we said, "I'm sorry, has the meeting been called to order? We'll sit down once the meeting is called to order." At which point, two police officers then jumped on John, grabbed him roughly, and dragged him off.
Congratulations. I mean, I think this is the tactic that we have to use to show that this is a farcical resolution. This is the idea of the Alliance Defense Fund, and they're promoting this to city councils around the country that, gee, if you have the prayer, still hold it, but just have it before the gavel sounds. Like, that makes a difference, even though they're hosting the prayer. Was this a Christian prayer?
Oh, without a doubt. They handed it in Jesus Christ, my Lord.
And this is our idea is apparently that these are all have all been Christian prayers at the Polk County School Board. And we are currently looking for parents with students in the school who would be willing to be part of a lawsuit, because it does look like they're not going to back down. Ellen Beth, you are an attorney. You are a vice president of Atheists of Florida. You're an FFRF member. This is just part and parcel of a whole lot of activism that's been going on in Florida concerning government prayer. What else is going on?
This is just outrageous what's going on in Florida. As you're aware, you know, you also sent a letter down to Cape Coral, and some of our members, John Keeper was one of them, went down there to protest the Ten Commandments issue. And simply showing up in the One Nation Indivisible T-shirt almost got him arrested.
Now, that was January 24th?
Correct.
And the January-February issue of Free Thought Today has an article reprinted from, with permission from Atheists of Florida website, and it shows a picture of you, Ellen Beth, wearing this One Nation Indivisible. And the mayor was behind this idea of putting the Ten Commandments up in Florida, and luckily, so far, that hasn't flown at all. The city council seems to be pretty strong on that. But what happened to you when you went to that meeting?
I actually didn't attend that meeting.
Oh, sorry.
John and some others attended.
And you and John, you and John are partners. Is that right? John Kiefer?
That's correct.
And he's president and you're vice president.
That's correct.
Okay.
He and some others went down there, and they were aware that the mayor was not happy with this T-shirt because they had gone down the month prior, and he had been approached by the mayor and the city manager about this T-shirt, and he was asked to turn the T-shirt inside out or change it. And he challenged them on this and said, "Why? What's wrong with my T-shirt?" And they said that you're not allowed to wear something that has a message such as this on this. They had been there the month prior, and apparently a resident had called in and said they had found it offensive.
So when he went to this meeting, what happened with the T-shirt?
When he went to this meeting, they sat there. They were allowed in. They sat there in the front row. And when he went up to the podium, the mayor said, "You are not allowed to be at the podium in that T-shirt. You need to leave." And he said, "What is wrong with the T-shirt?" Whereupon he was then dragged away by two police officers.
But then didn't the other city council members come to his rescue?
Actually, one city councilman, after John was removed by the police officers, one city council person made a motion to have him allowed to be brought back in and speak. It took about 20 minutes of discussion, and they voted 6-2 to allow John to come back in and speak. At the time that they were having this discussion, John was detained outside. He was being held by the police outside, and they were running a background check. So this was a false arrest.
Wow. So he's getting quite a grounding in civil disobedience, isn't he? Without meaning to.
Go ahead.
This is just outrageous what is going on in Florida.
There needs to be some education here, because I read a story in the paper about that incident where they said This group has T-shirts that replace "Under God" with "Indivisible," as if "Indivisible" were not part of the Pledge of Allegiance.
They don't realize "Under God" is an interloper put in the 50s.
These people need to be educated that, you know, Francis Bellamy wrote this as he originally wrote it, and they have butchered it.
Mm. That's how I learned.
Simply restoring it to its original version.
That's how I learned it in 1954. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That was the original pledge.
And then Congress intervened.
I find it appalling that people can take somebody's piece of art and butcher it.
Yeah.
Well, and the shirt says one nation, indivisible, and this is a very proper statement because under God divides our nation, doesn't it? As all of this division that an acrimony in Florida shows. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We're co-hosts of Free Thought Radio. We are talking with a Florida FFRF member, an activist with Atheists of Florida, Ellen Beth Wax. We'll be back to talk about yet another case of activism in Florida, so stay tuned.
Hi, my name is Jerry Hedrick from Eagan, Minnesota, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We're speaking with Ellen Beth Wax from Lakeland, Florida. And Ellen Beth has been protesting prayers, illegal prayers by city councils and by the Polk County School Board. And your partner, John Kiefer, got arrested for talking during a prayer. And Ellen Beth, you were telling me during the break that you got a little manhandled too.
Yes, while I was watching him get dragged away, I had a police officer come up behind me and grab me as well. And the amazing thing is I told him to let go of me, and surprisingly enough, he did.
Well, he must have known you're an attorney or something. Must have had that moral authority.
I'm not sure.
Well, and then again, to recap, for somebody just tuning in, these are prayers that have been moved to before the gavel. The meeting hasn't even started, and yet John was arrested for basically not being silent during a prayer for a meeting that hadn't even started.
Disrupting a non-meeting.
Right.
What law is there that says that?
So it's, and that was just this past, was it, what day did that happen?
This happened last Tuesday.
And so what's going on with, does he have formal charges yet?
He does.
And what are they?
He was arrested, and he was taken away and booked, and I spent 4 hours waiting for him to get formally charged, and I had to sit and wait and bail him out, and his bail was $1,000.
Wow. What were the charges?
The charges were disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and you're going to love this. He had an anxiety pill in his pocket, and he offered it up to let them know that he had it before they found it. He has a legal prescription for it. He told them to call his doctor, and they charged him with having a prescription medicine without having documentation for it.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, if you're in Polk County, make sure that you carry all of your prescriptions with you.
My gosh. So are you defending him, or does he have an attorney?
No, he has an attorney.
This is like Mitch Kale in Mitch Kale in Hawaii. Remember, he was arrested.
Same thing.
And he was exonerated.
And he got rid of prayers in the Hawaii Senate. So let's hope this is going to happen here. Now, Mary Beth, you're part of a lawsuit in Lakeland, the city of Lakeland, Florida.
Yes. Atheists of Florida and myself are the co-plaintiffs suing the city of Lakeland for their prayers.
And so, well, remind me when that lawsuit began, what they're doing and why you are objecting.
We filed suit last July, and we sued them because they are purely Christian prayers. They have been purely Christian prayers for, our discovery has shown, for at least the last 8 years. The only time they have had a non-Christian prayer was after I protested, when a cantor came in from the local synagogue and did a prayer.
And, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court, which it doesn't have the greatest record on this, has said if you're going to have government prayer, they have to be non-sectarian. So these are not non-sectarian. These are promoting Christianity and only Christianity, right?
This is purely Christian prayers. Not only are they purely Christian prayers, some of them have been outright proselytizing. After we came, the mayor himself got up and stated to the audience, there are atheists among us. Can you believe that?
Mm. Well, so talk about disenfranchising residents if they're not from the predominant Christian belief system. I mean, that's making you a political outsider.
Oh, not only does it make us a political outsider, it absolutely ostracizes us and has turned the community against us. I have had my mailbox bashed in. I have gotten somebody actually sought me out to put a letter in my mailbox saying, how dare you sue us?
How would you feel if the city changed its policy to make it truly balanced and non-sectarian and no preference? What would you do in that case?
Well, the problem is that, you know, as an atheist, I don't pray.
Right.
We have offered them what I think is a fair solution here, is simply go to a seated moment of silence, whereas, you know, nobody gets singled out.
Well, this is how the Freedom From Religion Foundation started. We were complaining about prayers locally. Government prayers eventually got them to end. It took a little educating. It took about a year and a half total. But I'd say that we have more complaints right now about government prayer than any other one issue in the whole country. I mean, I think we're up to 80 or 90 or 100 letters in the last 2 years all over the country writing on behalf of citizens who object to prayer by their local government bodies. And of course, the Marsh decision, which says you can have non-sectarian prayer, doesn't help us at all because atheists do not pray. And so whenever they pray, this is excluding us. And it's also, I find it to be intellectually offensive, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think Marsh is totally outdated.
And, well, we are hoping your lawsuit will show that because the demographics of the country have changed so much since 1983.
Without a doubt.
And we've had Ernie Chambers on Free Thought Radio, and he was the senator from Nebraska who took that lawsuit. And the only good thing that came out of that lawsuit, which he lost, was that they were paying clergy for prayer in Nebraska. And after he lost that Supreme Court decision, he still was able to persuade his state to stop paying them, at least. But it's been very frustrating ever since the Marsh decision. So we're glad you're taking that lawsuit.
Of course, the big difference is that Marsh is only limited to in-house legislative prayer. But in your case, Ellen Beth, the prayers are being directed at everyone who's in the room. Isn't that right?
It's not just everyone in the room as well. These prayers are broadcast on TV, and anybody who has an internet connection can watch them as well.
And so they're just sending out this message of exclusivity, this message of city endorsement of religion. And are you in federal court, and where is that lawsuit right now?
We are. We are in federal court in Tampa.
And you told me during the break you're about to be deposed?
I am. Next week is my deposition, and the mayor will be deposed as well.
So what kind of judge? Well, I suppose we should be careful, but you've drawn. Do you know anything about the federal judge you've drawn?
I know a little bit about it, and from what I understand, she seems to be a rather fair and impartial jurist. So
great.
I think that we're in a good position here.
So do you have any advice, since you're getting to be a veteran activist, for listeners who are encountering government prayer in their communities?
This is the time. Look, we have a lot of pushback now with the religious right, and we need to get active. We need to speak up. Atheists and secular humanists have to take a stand and become active in our country and go to our government bodies and say, look, we're 15% of the population now. We need to stand and get our voice counted and tell these people we will act out civilly, if, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, get arrested unless, you're willing to take that risk. We didn't go there expecting this to happen. That was quite a shock.
I imagine.
But you were not even exercising civil disobedience because you were breaking no laws. You were just protesting.
This was absolutely outrageous and totally out of the blue.
Well, thank you so much, and our best to John Kiefer.
Thank you.
And we'll update listeners to Free Thought Radio about your case.
We've been talking Ellen Beth Wax, W-A-C-H-S, of Atheists of Florida. We also want to thank our producer today, Brian Tarani, and he's also our engineer, and our announcer, Buzz Kemper. Free Thought Radio is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. You can ask for a sample issue of our newspaper, the January-February issue of Free Thought Today. We're hard at work on the march. Join us, help us, and tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.